You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Let's sit down with Simon Antrobus. He is RNIB's chief executive for our regular weekly catch-up. Simon, thank you for joining us.
Good to catch up with you, Alan.
A few political topics to get through today, Simon. Let's start with access to work. You've been talking more about that. Lots of things in the media at the moment are access to work, how important it is, but still lots of issues with it.
Absolutely, Alan. It's such an important and vital scheme for disabled people, but particularly for blind and partially sighted people. And look, I joined on January the 5th, and pretty much on the 5th and on the 6th, this issue crossed my desk. So there is real concern about the way access to work scheme is being played out at the moment in terms of the provision and funding for support workers for blind and partially sighted people. So with that in mind, we immediately expressed some concern about what was going on and received some assurance that the intended review of access to work and the things they were going to do has been paused, which is good news. But that doesn't mean that the current ways of working don't cause us some concern. They really do. So we've been looking into this. We've been thinking very hard about it. You'll know that a number of blind and partially sighted people, when they've had their access to work support reviewed, have either seen their support funding reduced, and in some instances reduced significantly, or cut altogether, which means that their ability to stay in work has been completely compromised. And this is a real concern for us. So I wrote to Sir Stephen Timms, who's the Minister for Social Security and Disability at Westminster, and he agreed to meet with me. Now, that's really good. I took along with me Eleanor Thompson, who's our key campaign director in the organisation. And we spent some time talking directly to Stephen about the experiences that we had witnessed in terms of access to work and its impact on, and the decisions taken, its impact on blind and partially sighted people. Although we didn't come to a very clear resolution, there was an understanding that the activities and the way reviews are taking place at the moment is definitely not helping blind and partially sighted people continue with their access to work support. And whilst we didn't leave the meeting with a complete resolution, we did land an understanding of the issues, and equally an agreement from Sir Stephen that he would, you know, take some more evidence from us of what's actually going on. And our suggestions on how that might be fixed. And one of the critical things in all of this, which we can advise your listeners on, Alan, is that the critical thing here is that when access to work is being reviewed, when people fill out the forms, they need to make sure that they're filling them out with as much detail as they possibly can, because they've become much tighter at the DWP in terms of how they assess these particular reviews. So we've got to get it right in that sense.
When you think about how important this is, access to work, for people who aren't aware of this, it can provide funding for people with disabilities, but particularly for blind and partially sighted people, you know, it can help with some transport costs if public transport isn't an option for people. Very difficult, maybe their working hours don't work, or they live in an area with isn't a great public transport. But it can also help with equipment, it can help with support workers as well to help people do those jobs. So, you know, it does help people into work. You know, Labour want to cut that welfare bill, they want more people working, people who with disabilities want to work, you know, they want to be employed. That service can help them do that, and it means they're contributing back into society again, whether it's, you know, income tax, whether it's national insurance. But, you know, they've got mortgages, they may run vehicles, they're spending money in shops and so on. There's a huge win-win here to help people stay in work. But yeah, there are concerns about the funding there. I've heard of people having the support worker hours, for example, cut by 75%, and basically saying, well, I can't do my job anymore. You want us to work, but you're looking at the bottom line now. So it seems that funding is a huge issue here, and the backlog as well. So, you know, staffing as well. So there's quite a few things to look at here.
Yeah, there is. And there's clearly pressure on the financial purse, and the Treasury are putting pressure on DWP to to save money. But, you know, it's counterintuitive, isn't it, Alan, that you've got people in work, as you say, they are playing a positive part in their communities, and you know, they're off of benefits, essentially. And here we are finding a system whereby we could be removing them from the work environment through no fault of their own, and it's just so counterintuitive. So I'm frustrated by the fact that we are facing such a significant issue here, but I'm pleased that we can play a part at RNIB in terms of holding the Westminster government to account. And I believe when we went there, we made a very strong case. Eleanor was brilliant defending the issue and making it very clear that there was a responsibility on the government to properly look at this and review it, and they have agreed to do that, and we will be providing them with evidence and holding them to account.
And we're going to stick with politics, Simon. You've also been speaking with a disability group within the Conservative Party.
The disability group for the Conservative Party has kind of been through a bit of a reset, and it's important that though they're not in government in Westminster at the moment, it's important that we continue to share our kind of views and opinions about what matters to blind and partially sighted people, and that we get those messages across. So the group had a reception at Westminster, and Anna Tyler, our chair, and myself attended that reception, and we were able to speak with the Shadow Minister for Social Security and Disability to help her understand that there are important areas, particularly access to work, but other areas as well, that we would like to talk to her about so that they can be properly understood in the kind of manifesto and policies that the Conservative Party put together. And that's a role we have to play. So we want to talk to government in Westminster, whether it's government in Westminster, Scotland, Wales or Northern Ireland. We want to talk to those that are in power. But equally, we need to make sure we're explaining the important issues for blind and partially sighted people when it comes to government, to the shadow party or the party in opposition and other parties as well. So we're it's important we talk to all political parties to help them understand what's important to us and what we think they should be considering when it comes to blind and partially sighted people. So we have to do the rounds on these receptions, and it was a good opportunity for us to get in front of the shadow minister and get an opportunity to have a conversation with her.
Good to get their feedback as well. And I suppose as a non-partisan organisation, we have to do that, you know, because there are political changes, or people move parties as well. I suppose it's important to keep up those relationships with the individual ministers and shadow ministers and MPs as well. You're keeping on their radar no matter where they are within the political arena.
Exactly. And they have an opportunity to ask questions and raise points, don't they, as well? So whilst the government of the day can make the critical decisions, you do still want those opposition parties to understand your points of view and make sure they're raising questions at every opportunity as well. So, you know, it's an important part of our influencing work. And as you say, we have to make sure that we're talking to all political persuasions.
So one more to discuss then, Simon. You've definitely been putting in the walking miles this week anyway. I hope I get this right. The Worshipful Company of Spectacle Makers.
Yes, this is a long-standing, what would you call it, guild. These companies go back hundreds of years, and the Worshipful Company of Spectacle Makers, bit of a mouthful, have a spring lunch. And again, Anna Tyler, our chair, and myself were invited. And you might think, well, why would you go to that? Why would you go to that? But it's a really important opportunity for us to network with key stakeholders across the kind of sight loss community. So we had the opportunity to talk to some people from Specsavers. So we're building our relationships there. I sat next to Dr. Laura Crawley, who is the consultant ophthalmic surgeon at Imperial College. So another opportunity for me to build my understanding, but also in terms of eye health and eye care, but also to build a connection with somebody who is in this world. So There's about 150 people there. We had the opportunity to speak to a number of individuals. And of course, we're continuing our relationship with the Guild itself. So, you know, there's a lot of good stuff that goes on when you network. And it's an important part of our maintaining our external profile and building our reputation.
Making connections everywhere else was something you absolutely have to do in the charity sector, whether it's in the third sector contacts, clinical, political, they're all there, all important as well, Simon. If you would like to find out more about RNIB and its services, we'd love to hear from you. You can have a look at rnib.org.uk. Our helpline is also there for you on 0303 123 9999, and for smart speaker users, just ask to contact RNIB's helpline. That's the clock beating us at once again, Simon. Great to have you with us, and we'll speak to you again next week on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks, Alan.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.